Listening to the World Service and the BBC's Anne Soy in Nairobi, I was first alerted to reports that there had been gunfire at the city's Westgate shopping centre at lunchtime on Saturday, the 21st of September. What follows is a story of the terror as told by those who had the misfortune to be there. Some listeners will find the testimony in this programme disturbing.
It was just like a normal Saturday. Usually my husband works on a Saturday, and this particular Saturday he had the morning off, so he decided that we go out and we take our son to go and play.
Lindsay Hato, her resident husband and four-year-old son were visiting the city's shopping mall. Thousands of locals, Kenyans and foreign nationals alike, were also shopping in the multi-story complex.
We got there to the mall, it was just normal. And the play area is on the top floor and the supermarket is on the bottom floor. We first decided to go to the supermarket. We needed to buy some things. While we was inside, the lights went off. And usually the generators, they back up the electricity and they come back on within a few seconds. But today it didn't come back on. So we were, you know, just walking towards the front of the supermarket and we heard a grenade.
I arrived at the Westgate Mall mid-afternoon and started to try and piece together what was happening. Hundreds of people ran for their lives. People said men dressed in black, wearing masks and carrying AK-47s, moved into the mall, threw grenades and started firing.
We were just sitting there and suddenly, all of a sudden, maybe at around 12 o'clock, we started hearing gunshots on the first, second floor, maybe on the ground floor and the first floor.
There was initially an explosion and then maybe 15, 16 shots. The first reaction was just to jump on the floor and I think everyone in the restaurant did the same thing.
Ariane Westra was in the ground floor art cafe when he saw and heard gunmen first come in.
What I saw, I heard heavy gunfire, incoming fire from heavy guns. I was having a coffee in art cafe. And the fire was moving towards the entrance and people started running. And a lot of people fell on the ground. They just stayed flat on the ground, basically. And I decided to stay in the art cafe. The gunfire moved into the shopping mall and people started running. I could hear people screaming. People were crying around me, but everybody was flat on the ground. Some people started running and after quite some time flat on the ground, it became quiet inside. And I got outside the shopping mall safely.
In the initial confusion, people wondered whether it was a robbery.
Well, there are easier places to rob. If I would be a bank robber, there are much easier banks to rob in Nairobi and not the bank in Westgate. So this feels like, something else. Let's put it like that.
And it quickly became clear that this was much more serious. Beginning at approximately 12:30 p.m. local time, there was a coordinated assault. It is thought that the attackers entered the mall from three points: the rooftop car parking area on the second floor and from two lower entrances. One was a pedestrian ramp into the center and the other was a main entrance. Witnesses sitting outside the art cafe on the ground floor said they saw a heavily armed group of men drive right up to the front and get out of their vehicle. Ajay Patel was in his car passing by the front of the mall at this time.
When I looked at the rear mirror, behind me there were two cars. It's like a white Pro Box, it's like a station wagon. The boot was open and I saw them passing over guns. I saw them passing over guns right there. And then this guy was shooting in the air and one guy was heading towards the step and firing anyone on sight. And they didn't care whether it was children or whatever. It was anyone in sight was being shot. My car was right in front of the steps. And I could see the shoppers who were coming down with the bags, with shopping bags, and people just being shot right in front of me and all dropping dead there, right in front of me. So it was very, very scary. This is going on for about a good 20 minutes. People shot, it's like a movie scene. You know, you see in movies, you see, you know, people getting plugged with bullets and falling down. But this is happening right in front of you. It was a horrific experience.
Desperate people fled. Some managed to escape, but many were killed.
There was a shooting on the ground floor, and slowly, slowly they're going up and up. I went up to Juba, and they came till there. Somehow, some police has rescued us. Situation is very bad inside.
There were between 6 and 16 attackers wearing bulletproof vests and black head coverings. Some were wearing goggles and they were shooting indiscriminately into the crowds and throwing grenades. I was one of the first journalists to arrive at the scene after I got a phone call at home from my editor. There was a power failure, so I had to check what was going on using my phone. The police inspector general was tweeting, so I knew there was a major security operation getting underway. But it was still a shock to see all the police cars and ambulances lined up along the side streets when I arrived. I had to wear my heavy press flak jacket and helmet and stood a short distance from the mall entrance to broadcast live on BBC TV News.
Well, witnesses who have been in the mall have been telling me that it is quite a tense situation. We have seen scores and scores of them being ushered out of this building and escorted to attend to somewhere where they can receive assistance.
When I came off air and talked to people outside, I realized I was on edge and nervous. One man I spoke to, Palminder Manku, told me that he had heard some terrible news about some members of his family who had been attending a children's cookery competition inside the mall.
Well, what do I tell you now?
Tell me what you're just telling the officer.
I've just told him that my sister-in-law and my brother's son has just been shot dead.
How did you know that? How are you getting the information?
We've got somebody inside there, so they're just giving us telephone communications.
And what are they saying about the situation in there?
It's bad. It's bad.
No problem. It's okay. Well, I just dived to the ground in the middle of this interview. I had instructions, get down.
Just calm down. No, that's what we can do now.
Rescue workers ran towards us with a blood-soaked woman in their arms.
Here.
They head for a waiting ambulance.
Were they working here? Were they shopping?
No. We have a festival going on for the MasterChef festival, food festival. So they had come for the competition. All the children and the ladies, you know.
This cookery competition for children was happening on the upper floors of the West Gate, outside in the rooftop car park.
We had just kick-started off the cookery. We'd given them 1 hour. And just 5 minutes into this, I heard something like firecrackers coming from inside the main mall. And I thought that, you know, there's a coffee house, the Java coffee house. So I thought maybe something's blown up there, it's a gas or something.
Exposed outside as the attackers approach is Kamal Kaur, a radio station presenter. There are some 33 children with her, including her own son and daughter.
I heard a loud bang, so I thought, okay, this doesn't sound good. And people started screaming and running out. And then in panic, you know, there's so many children over there. My kids were there. My kids had gone inside to get a pizza. So my first thought was, where are my children? And I ran towards the building, but I saw them holding hands and they were running out. And I told them, run to the corner, run. So I was trying to get the other kids out. The crackling, like firecrackers, the shooting was going on. It was going on. So we were in the corner. I was telling everybody, bend down, just get over, because the adults were worse. They were animals. They were climbing on top of the kids to jump over the walls. And I was trying to save all the little children over there. They were stepping on the children. So I was trying to stop that from happening, and I was pushing them out of the way, but they were getting over. There was a gate over there that was locked. I told the kids, lay low, just lay low. Just as that started happening, I think they threw two canisters at us that blew up, and he started firing as well. Now, I had not seen anyone at this point yet because I had my back towards everything, and I was trying to huddle the kids. I was trying to protect them. And it went off, and I heard my son screaming. And I looked up, and at that moment, I saw maybe a bullet, just hit on the wall like that, and I was just watching. I couldn't do anything. I just watched it whiz by him like that, and my daughter pulled him down, and they fell to the ground. It bounced from the wall. There's a little boy next door. It hit him here. I could just watch him. I was trying to pull that boy down, but he fell. Then by then we had fallen down. He fell on top of us, and we stayed like that. Then I had, I think, 2-3 girls over here. My daughter was next to me. There was an old lady behind her. My son was here. I was trying to protect my kids. I was trying to protect the other kids, trying to bring them closer to me. And so that was what was happening. About a few minutes later, this, from where I was lying down, this built man came. He was of medium build, maybe 5'8", 5'9". I couldn't tell. Lying low, he looked huge. He looked muscular. He had a very big gun with him, and he had those magazines and bullets and some grenades and stuff on him. And he started saying something. I couldn't make out. And at that point, my daughter was next to me. She started saying, pretend you're dead. He won't shoot. Pretend you're dead. Just pretend you're dead. So I think all the kids heard her, and they, you know, so I told them, cover your face with your hair so there's no, he can't make eye contact with you. So I don't know what he was saying. Then he raised his voice. He said something, and I think there were more children on that side as well. I think that's where my colleague Ruhila was. I'm not sure, but I think she was on that side. And he pointed and he shot. Now, I don't know if he shot at the wall or at the kids, but he shot. I watched him do that, and I just had to close my eyes. He went away. He didn't come back after that. It must have been maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, I don't know. So a gentleman came in, and he had a gun with him. We got scared. Why is he this close to us? But he was like, out. He started gesturing, get out, get out, get out. So we ran. I told the kids, get up. I was helping the old lady next to me because she had pins and needles. She couldn't feel her legs. At that point, I think somebody carried my daughter out because she couldn't walk. She was hurt pretty badly on her leg. She couldn't walk. So a Samaritan picked her up, and he ran off with her. And I just said a prayer, just look after her. And then we pushed the kids away. We ran towards Java. We heard some more firing, so we thought they're back to fire at us. But it was the guys who had come in, and they were protecting us, so they were firing to keep them away. So I realized that. So I told the kids, just jump over the wall. There was a service room at the back. At Java. So I started helping the kids jump over the wall, and from a distance I saw my little boy hold a little girl's hand, and he told her, come, let's go. I'm so proud of my kids. They didn't look back. They were helping others, and I thought that maybe the way I'm helping somebody's child, somebody is going to help my children too. So I left that trust, and I said, go, it's okay, we're okay. If we've got this far, it means we're safe. I kept that hope in me. So I was the last one out of there. So we came out from the side. It was on the second floor. We came out from the stairwell. And as soon as we came out, there were ambulances and everything there. So my first instinct was to look for my kids because I had no idea where they were. I was being shoved into an ambulance as well. I had blood all over. It wasn't mine. And I saw both my kids there. The relief I felt.
The rescue mission was now underway. Initially, the response was from the mall security guards. They were joined by the police and, much later, the army. Nikki Sobeki was one of the journalists who managed to enter the mall right after the attack. She went in with the security forces.
It was definitely unclear where the shooters were. Even the security team we were with didn't know yet where they were. And so we were sweeping from shop to shop through the mall, trying to locate the shooters, and also a team of security was trying to disable the elevators to prevent the attackers from moving between floors and popping out and surprising someone. Before they were able to do that, one of the elevator doors did open, and a middle-aged woman crawled out. She's obviously terrified, and they were able to get her out quickly to safety.
Her photos show plain-clothed officers crouching behind pillars and creeping towards escalators with guns, and the harrowing sight of a terrified mother and her two young children lying face down behind a coffee counter.
It seemed like everywhere we looked, more people would come out as soon as they realized that this was the security forces and that they were safe, or at least they had an opportunity to try and get out. People were hiding in air vents, crouched on the floor, people hiding in cinemas, casinos, beauty salons, locking themselves in. The mall soundtrack with pop music continuing to play, but otherwise this sort of eerie silence, bursts of gunfire. It was very surreal.
It was clear that this was a coordinated and well-planned attack. We didn't know who was responsible, but there was immediately speculation that it was the Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab. They claimed responsibility for the attack and issued a message on Twitter. One of them reads, "The Mujahideen entered hashtag Westgate Mall today at around noon and are still inside the mall fighting the Kenyan Kufar, infidels, inside their own turf." They claim the mall attack was in retaliation for Kenya's military incursion in October 2011 into southern Somalia to fight the insurgents there. On the upper floors of the Westgate Mall, there are offices and a dentist surgery. Sunil Satjeva is an orthodontist who works there.
We managed to keep peeping out of our window because we have a view of our rooftop parking, which is on the second floor, from my office windows. Now, as we were peeping, I suddenly saw a large crowd of people run out of the exit. I saw a couple of people trying to get under vehicles to hide, and I thought, this is something serious if they're getting under the cars. And, you know, as they made it to the corner, I saw two young men, tall, thin, dark, with bandanas on their head, carrying automatic weapons, walking towards the corner as if, you know, they had all the time in the world. And 30 seconds later, another three people got up and ran, but as they were running, they were gunned down by one of them. And then suddenly there was a loud bang in the corner, and which I realized later was a grenade.
When it blew up, it went up this way, and I can still smell that disgusting sulfuric smell and that blood.
Kamal Kaur, although now safely outside, remembers some of the harrowing details of being so close to one of the gunmen.
He was wearing a long scarf and he had his eyes covered with sunglasses. He was talking more to the people on that side. I think it was in English. I saw, in fact, this gentleman was one of our judges as well, and he was wearing a Muslim cap. He's a Muslim man. And I saw him and a lady in her burqa. They were in surrender mode and they were walking up to him. And they exchanged some words or something, and I was told that he was asked what is the Prophet's mom's name, and he was told to recite a prayer or something. He did it, and I saw him do this. So that meant go, and I saw them walk away. They claim to be the Al-Shabaab, but what's that got to do with innocent children? Fight it out like men. Be brave. Why are you picking on innocent people? What kind of bravery is that? What is that? My colleague, she said, we asked them, why are you doing this to the children? And apparently they replied that you did this to our children and our women. You didn't think of it. So why should we care about you?
Her friend and colleague, Ruhila Adatia Sood, was shot at the mall and later died in hospital. She was 6 months pregnant. Other victims included the Ghanaian poet and diplomat, Professor Kofi Awonor. They came from diverse backgrounds, 10 different nationalities, an architect, NGO worker, and two eight-year-olds, a boy and a little girl.
Helpless children being shot at, that got to me. That's really, I'm trying to block it. It just keeps swimming my head. The boy next to me, After he was shot, he was breathing very deeply, and I could do nothing to save him. He was bleeding profusely. I did not know where to, so I could stop the bleeding. Then his breathing got heavier and heavier, and I could just pat his head and just pray that he goes to a good place, and eventually he stopped. I could do nothing to help him.
You know, the day that this thing happened, I mean, you know, the adrenaline took over and you just did things automatically that you needed to do. Later that night, when we were at home, we just couldn't, you know, fathom what had happened or how lucky we had been, you know, how unlucky the others were. Look, it, you know, with each passing day, it's sinking in, you know, and I think, you know, when I think about it, I'm about to break down. So it's a despicable act. These guys are not human, you know. Innocent children, women, come on. Who are these people, man?
Inchi yetu ya Kenya kweli ni muzuri.
On Sunday, Kenya wakes up in shock. Radio stations start playing patriotic music. This song is one of the most requested. It means, Kenya, I love you. Let's love and protect our children and our country.
Inchi yetu ya Kenya kweli ni muzuri. Inchi yetu ya Kenya kweli ni muzuri. Inchi yetu ya Kenya kweli ni muzuri.
The Kenyan Interior Secretary, Joseph Olelenku, made an announcement about initial numbers of people dead and injured.
So far, we can confirm that 59 people have been killed. The number injured has risen to 175.
Over 1,000 people have been led to safety, but speculation grows as to the identity of the attackers and their nationalities. The Kenyan President, Uhuru Kenyatta, also gives an address.
The Al-Shabaab terror group have claimed responsibility for this cowardly act of terror on social media. They shall not get away with their despicable and beastly acts. I call on Kenyans to stand courageous and united. Let us not sacrifice our values and dignity to appease cowards.
Hostages were thought to be still inside the mall, and the situation was still delicate. The BBC spoke to a military commander of Al-Shabaab, Abu Omar.
There will be non-negotiations. We've spoken to the Mujahideen inside Westgate, and they told us that the Kenyan government was urging them to negotiate, and was also giving them some incentives to come to dialogue, to the dialogue table. Every Mujahid goes out to fight knowing full well that he wants to die for the sake of Allah, to achieve martyrdom. And that's something, obviously, which is quite, which has confounded many Westerners, and they have failed to come to terms with that.
Gunfire and explosions continue throughout the day. At 18:45 local time, two helicopters land on the roof in an apparent operation to retake the mall, and a large explosion is heard from inside. But the siege continues into another day.
Day three. The siege is starting to feel like a waiting game.
On Monday 23rd, my BBC colleague Gabriel Gethouse is broadcasting outside the mall.
Well, there's a series of shots ringing out now just outside the shopping centre. Black smoke we can see coming from the top of the building. We don't know what's going on inside, but certainly this is the most action we've heard in quite a number of hours.
Then later I am reporting outside Westgate and see more evidence of what has been billed the final assault to flush out the attackers and free the remaining hostages.
I'm standing about 300 meters from where I am. I can see black smoke billowing into the sky. That was just an ambulance driving out of the scene. We had two loud bangs, explosions, accompanied by sustained gunfire.
It is not until later on day four that it all finally does come to an end. Tuesday, 24th September.
I believe we're going to recover the bodies, or we're going to have the people alive. Whichever the way, the human beings, they will be accounted for.
The Red Cross says there are still 50 people missing and thought to be still inside the mall. Fire sweeps through parts of the building. Some interior floors and parts of the floor of the car park collapse. Sporadic gunfire can be heard from outside. Then, finally, it's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have ashamed and defeated our attackers. 5 terrorists were killed with gunfire. 11 suspects are in custody in connection with the attack. Our losses are immense. To the honor and memory of those who lost their lives in this attack, I have declared 3 days of national mourning.
The Kenya National Anthem. This assault on the Westgate Mall marks the deadliest single attack in the capital since the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombing, in which more than 200 people died. As the number of the dead here rises from 67, the gruesome task of recovering more bodies is underway. Questions over the military operation and whether any more people could have been saved, as well as how many attackers were apprehended and who, if any, escaped, remain. The people involved in this attack are left to pick up the pieces of their lives, and a nation is trying to pull together in support of them. Document.